Mike Calda Show. It's 102.5 The Bone. Spanish, before you leave to go do drugs and go to Okeechobee, where are you going? You got a gig today, don't you?
I do have a gig today from noon to 2 at the NMRA Spring Break Shootout.
So which you decided was what? National Rifle
National and Mustang Muscle Racing Association.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so
the cars or the horses?
The
horses. Cars. Cowboy Vice President is going to be out there. Yeah. Special guest.
Noon to 2. Kids 12 and under getting free, and tickets are only $25. Plus, I'll have free hugs.
Well, what kid for 12 and under is going to be out of school at noon?
Oh, you'd be surprised how many kids show up to these things. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Skip school for it.
Yeah, why not?
That is today at noon with Spanish.
Yes, in Bradenton.
And then you will go do drugs.
I'm going to be doing drugs all weekend, allegedly. And then on Sunday, I'm going to be at LBC in Palm Harbor from 8 to 10 p.m.
Those are the fine people,
yeah, who brought us all this food. Allegedly drugged up. But yeah, I will probably be very...
Did you eat any food? Look at all the food we have. Dig in and eat some food.
I ate at the hotel. I stuffed my face, but maybe on the way out...
Are you that guy that gets up whenever I check in and they go, tomorrow we have a free breakfast and it's from 7 to 10 and I go, oh, okay, I'll be up at 11:15. Smell it on the way out of your hotel.
Not usually, but sometimes the people that are picking you up to go to radio come in a little bit late.
Oh! We hear that a lot about her.
Almost ruined our relationship with Daniel Tosh.
That's right.
What happens?
She was late bringing Daniel Tosh into us. And Daniel Tosh, this is a long time ago. We remember. Yeah.
And you missed out on that comedy genius?
and ruined our relationship with, this is a big one. What's his name? Jeff Garbino?
Jeff Garbino.
I'm just kidding. That's some local jerk.
No, she was actually about 3 minutes late.
Oh, how
dare
you?
But I used that as an excuse to sit down and eat, and I made us even later.
You ruined our relationship with Artie Fletcher?
Did you ever read his book?
Nobody read his book.
Dude, no, read it.
You didn't read it.
So insane.
In what level? Like, I'll tell you my level of insanity with him.
Oh, just name dropping, telling stories about partying with, like, I can't remember if it was David Lee Roth or somebody like that in New York.
He is New York's bad boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh.
My favorite was that he lists Letterman as one of his credits. And then I heard word that he never actually done Letterman. And then I found out that he happened to be in the crowd, got a ticket and was in the crowd. And they did one of those bits where they go into the crowd and they talk to him for a second. Yeah. And he now uses that as a credit.
That's great.
That is my favorite.
Yeah.
He did create one of the more memorable moments on this show, though. He brought Gallagher to us. So they were like, Gallagher's coming. We have him on the show. And I said, no, I'm not putting Gallagher on the show. And they said, here's the deal. They have a budget of money to spend on this show. And if we don't put him on, they're going to spend it somewhere else. And I was like, all right. There's enough to talk to him with the whole Gallagher 2 thing with his brother to make it interesting. We can make that work. So he brought him in here. And for the minute he came in, he was a miserable dick.
Yeah.
I ended up having to kick Gallagher out.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, get out.
I'm telling you right now. So I grew up in Chicago. I don't know whether you know Jonathan Brandmeier. I listened to him. I listened to Howard Stern. I listened to radio as a kid growing up, Bruce Williams, all the guys. The greatest phrase ever uttered on radio was when Mike kicked Gallagher out of the studio and said, now go smash your fruit out in the hall.
No, you did it.
It was the new go get your shine box.
Are you serious? Yeah.
It was, like, I told him we could have spent a month trying to write a line that would not have touched that line. It was great.
What did he do?
He was sitting right where you're sitting. And I was excited. Like, I don't bring guys in to fight with him either, especially like Gallagher. Why would I fight? So I said, can I tell you right out of the gate? I go, can I tell you that a rumor that I heard when I was a kid that I know is not true, but for years I believed this, that you were Eddie Haskell from the Leave It to Beaver show, a show which I'd never even really seen.
Yeah.
But the rumor when I was a kid was Eddie Haskell grew up to be Gallagher who smashes all the fruit and all that. And he goes, well, that's your problem. And I said, what? And he goes, well, you tell these stories that have no meaning or consequence or whatever. And I was like, what? It just was a thing I heard when I was a kid. And he's like, well, that, anyway, carry on. And I was like, well, don't carry on. It's my goddamn show.
He said carry on.
Yeah, I was like, don't. And then I go, why are you in such a pissy mood? He's like, I'm not in a pissy mood. I'm like, well, you're being a dick to me. 2 seconds you've been in here. I'm trying to be nice to you. And then he was like, well, I was like, go. You got to go.
That's fast? Awesome. The whole interview?
Yeah.
Under 60 seconds?
No, it was probably about, because my whole Eddie Haskell thing was a couple of minutes. I was leading up to it, introducing him and all that. And I would say it was probably about 4 minutes, the whole thing.
Four wow. very awkward and uncomfortable yeah. minutes.
See, not for me. Oh, look, there it is, a video. There he is walking out. And then I see the tag on his hat, and I go, you still got your tag on, Mini Pearl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. See you, Gallagher.
That's great. That's so great.
I tell you, Gallagher is not that bad. He actually did some funny political stuff for a while.
I remember when I was a kid, when you were watching all these Sam specials, Gallagher had the special. It wasn't just him smashing the fruit.
Yeah.
And also the story about his brother taking over his career and all that. It's incredible. I mean, that's a story for those people who don't know that's worth talking to him about. Whatever. And then that other guy who hasn't updated his act in 30 years, the guy who does the coach and all the football players.
Oh, Bob Nelson.
Bob Nelson. He started, got mad, started calling on the request line. I had the three of the world's worst comedians yelling at me at the same time.
By the way, I believe I have just the minute clip audio here that is fantastic. If you'd like to hear this.
When your specials came out, I had believed as I was a kid that you were Eddie Haskell from Leave It to Beaver. Did that ever get back to you? Did you know that?
Where does this story go? See, that's your problem. It doesn't go anywhere. You can't just tell about a memory. You could ask people if they have a memory that goes to a dead end. But, I mean, where do we go with this now?
Well, why do we have to go somewhere? Why can't I just tell you something funny that happened in my life? Why are you being a dick right away?
Well, I don't know. But, Eddie,
hold on. Back it up. Why are you turning into a dick to me? I didn't do anything to you, and all of a sudden you come in here with an attitude.
I don't have an attitude.
You kind of a little bit.
All right, great.
Okay. All right, Gallagher, it was nice seeing you. All right. Go smash your fruit in the hall.
Oh, that's so good.
Wow.
Once the switch went over, it was just...
I gotta tell you, listening to it's uncomfortable.
In.
That day wasn't uncomfortable. Oh. Listening to it's uncomfortable.
Oh, no, that was fantastic. Everything about it, I loved it.
That's because it's because here I am, it hit me. I don't even want to have you on. I'm doing this as a favor to a salesperson. Get out.
Right. If it hadn't been that situation, you probably wouldn't have done that.
No, I probably would have done that. Yeah. If he was a dick, I probably would have done it.
Didn't you and I start off on the wrong foot when I came in the first time?
No, I'll tell you what happened. This is when Bubba was doing mornings here.
Yeah.
And we had booked you on the show, and then on my way into work, you were on his show. And then you went from his show to his after show, which is a satellite or whatever. So you had done like 4 hours of Bubba. So I just called the comedy club and I said, hey, I didn't know you and I thought you would just be burned out. You just did 4 hours of crappy radio. I was like, he's not going to want to do for a show. And you were like, no, I this is what I like to do. I was like, okay, I'm not being mean about it. I wouldn't want to do another radio show.
I think I came in then and I just assumed that we had a little bit of a beef, but then it went away right away.
Yeah, because I called the comedy club back and I was like, oh, no, all right, if you want to do it, then let's do it.
And then another time I came, well, first of all, let me tell you what happened that morning.
Oh, this is great.
I go to Bubba's studio, which is like, it's like you serpentine through back streets around. It's like a Girl Scout camp.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you pull up to this warehouse. And I go in, and there's a midget sitting on a couch in the waiting room, and he's pissed himself.
Right.
That's my first image of the show. And then I go
inside.
Which
really sums the whole show up.
And I go inside, and everybody's drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon. It's, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Getting better as we go along.
Guy pulls me out into the alley, and we smoke a joint, which I never smoke pot.
Right.
Now I'm high.
Uh-huh.
And I go in, and I go into the show, and Bubba's got like this 12-gauge Israeli handgun that he whips out. And I'm like, all right, this guy knows what he's doing.
Ugh.
Room clears. Everybody runs out of the room. I'm like, oh, maybe he doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
And then,
by the way, that's a guy in my entire time of knowing him has accidentally discharged a firearm twice.
Oh, really?
One time almost shot Pete in the face, and the other time blew a hole in the passenger floor of his car.
So then I go, in, and they've got a van out. And the van is picking up businessmen.
All right, but that's good.
She's pleasuring the men with her hands.
It's not ridiculous that you can say.
And so they're interviewing them while it happens, which was actually hilarious.
Yeah.
And then they had some guy call in who was about to rob a bank. I think he was syndicated somewhere in Michigan. And so he talked this guy out of robbing a bank. I'm high the entire time. And I felt like a training day. I was Ethan Hawke in training day by the end of it. And it just kept going. And then, do you want to do this other show? And I was like, yeah, I was in on it. Because I didn't know Tampa.
Yeah,
this is the Deep South.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm back there with this good old boy. And I was having a blast, but I was out of my mind. And then I came here afterwards.
Yeah. And it was good. And we got a good relationship
but
from there.
But then the next time I came on your show, and then Bubba canceled me because I was doing your show. And you called Bubba.
I did?
And you were like, what are you doing? And
probably.
You yelled at him on the air.
Yeah.
And then he had me on.
What a baby. What a baby. I've never been that guy. Like, I challenge, if you come to town and you're going to do multiple shows, sometimes I want to be the first person, because you don't want to be, we have crossover listeners with other radio shows.
Yeah.
So you don't want to have the guy that had BR have him on second after you might have just heard him on another show.
Right.
So you always want to have the guy first. After that, I don't care what you do after that.
Yeah.
Who am I, first of all, to tell you what to do? And second of all, I put my skills up against anybody. You listen to it here, and then go listen to it somewhere else and see if you think it's as good.
Well, that's how I felt when I was listening to Nick DiPaolo when I came in here. Like, being the second comic on a radio show
morning. You mean Brewer.
Brewer. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, I got to follow Brewer. But John Stage is tough.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I got this. It'll be a different interview.
That's the thing. When Spanish was like, we got the only day Brewer can do is Dave Fitzsimmons is here. I was like, first of all, I bet you they know each other, and I don't think they're going to care. Maybe we can get them to cross over time-wise, which would have been great. And I said, and second of all, you get Brewer, he's all over the place and crazy, and then you get Fitzsimmons to just chill, and we can just talk about BS. So I knew it wouldn't be the same.
I love it. I think, as a matter of fact, your listeners probably are like, oh, good, we got like a big comedy block this morning.
Right. We didn't even do news or anything today. It was just Friday. Who has been your worst guest on your podcast or your radio show?
Oh, that guy, he was in Black Flag.
Oh, Henry Rollins?
Henry Rollins.
Really? Very monotone.
Not just that. Like, he came into the studio early, and I wasn't at the studio yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so he leaves me this voice message, which was just really, really kind of aggressive, I thought.
Any swearing in this?
Probably not, if it's Henry Rollins.
I'm trying to find you, but apparently you just can't answer your phone. Well, thanks.
Wow. So it started with that, which I was just immediately like, all right, dude, you're 15 minutes early to the studio. And so then he comes in and he just had this really angry shutdown, like, I'm going to mail this in attitude.
Yeah.
And, you know, I turned it around, but it's just like he's one of those guys that once he starts talking, he won't shut up. I don't want to hear your talking points.
Right.
I want to have a conversation with you. And I know you've got a lot to say and you've got a lot of opinions. I don't care. Go do that on your own show. You know, talk to me. I'm in the room with you.
It's one of the reasons why people do like to have him on the show, because you could just go Henry Rollins and just let him talk. And at the end, you go, he's a great guest.
I don't like that.
No. I mean, we haven't had him on in a long time, but he does get to ramble and be kind of boring.
Yeah.
You're right. He's got an agenda.
Right.
But although he's got stuff to talk about, I mean.
Oh, no, the agenda's great.
Yeah.
Now, my other one, which is my best and my worst interview, was I just had Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys on.
Oh, yeah.
And he comes in, and, you know, he's been through a lot. You know, drug rehab and, you know, fried his brain. And so he comes in. And meanwhile, I'm a Beach Boys fanatic.
Right.
He comes in, and I can't believe I'm interviewing him. And so I research online. I listen to some interviews with him. And, I mean, he is a one-word answer, dude.
Oh, really?
And so I'm kind of prepared. I've got a ton of questions and research, and I go in and there's three of us, three serious people that are each getting 20 minutes with him.
Mm-hmm.
So the first guy goes in and he starts asking. This guy's not ready. He did no prep, and he's like, "So what it was like being in the Beach Boys? Good,
great question.
Yeah, how did you write Good Vibrations?" And so he, after 5 minutes, Brian Wilson goes, "Okay, thanks, we're done."
Oh,
the guy just comes out with his tail between his legs. Next guy goes in, no more prepared than the first guy. He lasts about 7 minutes. And then I went in, and I just didn't, you know, one-word answers.
Keep going. Keep hammering
the
questions.
And I just kept hammering as he's finishing one. But I'm asking him questions like, you know, why did you talk about broccoli so much in the smile sessions?
Uh-huh.
And he was like, oh. He goes, well, you know, I had just gotten into nutrition. And so I'm asking him offbeat questions, and I'm pouncing each time.
Right.
And I got like 25 minutes out of him.
Oh, really?
So, which just doesn't sound like a lot.
Did he seem like he enjoyed it?
He did. He said he wanted to come out and see my stand-up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that was a thrill. I literally jumped up and down when I came outside. I was so happy.
Sometimes I wonder, like, if you get somebody on that you've always admired or that you want to have on the show, sometimes when they cancel, I'm just like, oh, good. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I imagine that would have been, I love this person. They're going to come on and be such a dick, or they're going to be a terrible interview, and I'm going to end up hating them. And it's just better. But
what's great about being in LA is you get, the Sirius helps me book guests.
Right.
They've done a great job. And then I've got another woman that books guests for me. So if I say I love this show, Silicon Valley,
they'll go get somebody.
They'll go get, I've had like four people from Silicon Valley.
That's
on
how
my
producers
show.
Work. Oh, just saying.
What?
If I tell you I love a show, maybe get somebody from that show.
Okay.
I'm going to hire the girl that he has.
Whatever.
Yeah. We haven't anybody from the Missing on yet.
Right.
Well,
two seasons. Cool. Saying we love the show.
It's amazing who you can get when you just reach out.
Well, social media has made it very easy to contact people now, so you can do that.
Oh, is that how you do it?
Well, and we don't, but I'm just saying like podcasters can go to an actor or a comedian and say, hey, I'm a host of a podcast. Would you do it? And the guy's Monday night got nothing going on. He's like, yeah, I'll come on your podcast, you know?
Right, right.
And you know, for average kids, I'm talking about, not for famous people's podcasts. So that's, you know, that'd be it. No, in fact, Spanish did that one time and I yelled at him. Don't ever reach across somebody on Twitter and be like, we'd like to have you on the show. Look, you're right. It worked for you. Sometimes I just don't want to see it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to know how he got from A to B. You just get to B.
For sure. Slide in their DMs.
What's that? Yeah, you slide their DMs. That's fine.
Let Carmen slide in their DMs.
Yeah,
right,
for sure.
Uh-huh. Carmen's more like they slide in their BMs. The only time I reached out to somebody was Judd Apatow, and I don't know why I reached out to him. But I did, and he got back to me within 3 minutes. And he's like, I've listened to every episode. I'd love to come on.
You know, it's funny. Artie was on with us earlier in the week, Monday. And
I
he
listened
said the
to
same,
the interview.
He said the same thing. He was like, Judd Apatow got back to me right away.
Yeah.
How funny is that? Yeah.
That was a great interview, by the way.
But Artie?
Yeah.
Didn't Artie sound like great? Like he sounded like he's happy? Yeah.
I'm
happy for him. He's a nice dude, and he's always been cool to us. So.
Well, I wrote on that show, on that crashing show.
You did?
Yeah.
Show's great.
Yeah, so I got to see Artie a lot. Lately, and he's in great shape. He's doing really well.
I love Apatow when he's not talking about politics. This is 40 is one of my favorite movies. I think it's one of the
so
best
funny
movies
you say
ever.
That. I feel the same way.
It's the most realistic family movie I have ever seen. And I think his kids are great. His wife does a great job. It's a good movie. All right, Greg Fitzsimmons is here.
Speaking of his wife, did you have anything to do with that new...
My wife!
that new movie with her and Robert De Niro?
The comedian? Yeah. No, I think Jeff Ross wrote that.
Yeah.
Oh, Ross wrote that?
Yeah, remember, we had Ross on, and he was like... We had him on in the studio, and he was like... I just met with Robert De Niro. I remember him telling us about how that happened. He goes, I don't know, you're doing a comedy thing or something, or I got a comedy thing that I've been meeting him with about, and I never thought that would make it anywhere.
Yeah. How'd the movie turn out?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I've seen the trailer for it, but I don't know.
I haven't seen it.
really? What are your predictions?
Well, you never know with movies. You know, sometimes they click with people.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
It's tricky. It's a tricky business. And if it doesn't work, it can really kill your career.
Wow. Oof.
Could kill Robert De Niro's career.
Yeah, I see. De Niro is at the point now. I've seen him in so many bad movies in the last 3 years. That now he's just like, well, I'm retired now, so let's just take all this money.
I know. It's such a
I'm not
shame.
Doing your movie. We'll give you $30 million. I'll do your movie.
But then it ruins your legacy. You know?
You always got Godfather 2 to fall back on. We did read something yesterday where De Niro, Pacino, Sean Penn, and Scorsese are doing something on Netflix. That can't be anything but awesome.
Yeah, but I thought that about Vinyl on HBO with Scorsese and Mick Jagger producing
it. One guy that ruined it. That guy, hate that guy.
Yeah, I hate him, yeah.
Who's that?
Bobby
Cannavale or whatever.
He
ruined the whole show.
Right.
That's not a guy you cast as a lead.
I'll tell you who the standout was on there and really showed his acting chops was Ray Romano. Ray Romano was good on there.
That's right.
He's a good actor. Like, he became a good actor.
Yep. Mm.
Yeah, definitely not that Cannavale guy. Ruined it. Greg Fitzsimmons is here. He'll be at the Improv this weekend, 864-4000. And you can go to improvtampa.com and make reservations to see him. So we hired a new nanny. Spanish's girlfriend used to be our nanny. And then she quit to go work for some pot place.
Pharmaceutical company.
Whatever. So we got a new nanny, and she's coming over Saturday night as, like, her nanny audition. Like, she's hired, but now she's, like, doing the first time to do some nannying.
Nanny audition? What song are you going to play for her?
But my wife and I are going to go out. Because we got the nanny. So I'm going to try and convince my wife to come. We'll go to the comedy show. Go see Greg Fitzsimmons.
All right, let's get back to this nanny. Did you check her social media to make sure she's not a lunatic?
My wife was all over that, surprisingly. First of all, we did a legit legal background check. And then my wife flushed out her social media, which she did with all the nanny candidates, and only met with like three of them after looking at their Facebook pages. There was enough on the Facebook to tell you which girls not even set up a meeting with.
I have a few questions. How old is she?
19.
Really?
How hot is she?
Awesomely hot.
Okay, well, this should work out well for you.
Why wouldn't it, though? Why wouldn't it? There's no way a hot 19-year-old is interested in me.
So?
Perfect.
Nobody's ever gotten in trouble for being after a hot 19-year-old, though, right?
Have you ever seen me after anybody? Like, especially one that could ruin my family and my marriage, you know, my kids.
Yes, Carmen, every morning.
The one that you have to fear is the one that finds me attractive.
Mm.
That's when you have a problem. Because the minute my wife's leaving, she comes in, she does that leg lift thing. So what are you doing in your office? That's when we have problems.
Sitting on the counter.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are you swinging sitting on the counter? Yeah.
You show me how to do what? Do you,
yeah.
Just tell me about your job. Must be really cool. You're meet Justin.
Reaches across to you for no reason to get something. Yeah.
How do you hold the microphone?
Yeah. Let me show you.
Do you talk into it like this?
That's the one you have to worry about.
Do you need a ride home? Meanwhile, you know she has a car. It's in the driveway.
But she needs a ride home. I used to dream about my last nanny doing that. Nothing.
No, thank you. I'm glad nothing.
One day I did come home though. And Spanish's girlfriend was in a bikini, and my daughter, who was three at the time, was in a little bathing suit.
Yeah.
And I looked, and I mean, Spanish's girlfriend's hot, and she has big boobs.
No. Yeah.
But she, on top of being like hot, like this hot, like supermodel hot, and then there's this girl, something about him, and just super sexy.
Yeah.
That's his girlfriend.
Yeah, very lucky.
Yeah, I do actually.
Yeah, picture her in a bikini and standing
in my
living room.
Do you have a bikini or topless or anything?
No.
You do. Oh, you do.
I have some topless ones.
All right, guys.
So I walk in and she's there with my daughter, and I go, "Oh, look at you! You guys are all going." She's like, "I got a new." My daughter goes, "I got a new bathing suit." I go, "I know you look so sexy."
No.
And I went, "That's not an appropriate word to say to your 3-year-old." Wasn't you I was talking about?
Sexy was on the mind.
That's why she has daddy issues.
Yeah. I just looked at her and I go, "And that's why you'll be a slut." Yeah. Oh, Spanish. Sexy girlfriend.
Yeah, she's taller than I am.
What is she, Italian?
She is Italian, 100%.
Throws it around.
Italian girl.
Yeah.
She's the only girl I know to cut her hair short and be sexy.
Yeah. Where is she from, Jersey?
Pittsburgh.
Mm.
Yeah, her family's from Pittsburgh.
She have that annoying accent?
No. Thank God.
Yeah.
Yen's going to the store.
Yeah. She does do the thing where everything is a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's just a girl.
Yeah.
They don't know anything. your wife cut her hair?
No, like, she's always had it long.
Would she ever think about cutting it?
Nope, she won't do it. She knows who she is.
Yeah.
She's like style-wise, she's like locked in. She's had the same style ever since I met her.
Perfect.
She keeps it simple.
What kind of underwear does she wear?
Just regular underwear. She doesn't like the thing going up her crack.
That's fine. As long as you knew, though, going into it, what you're again.
And she can't get too creative with the bras because she has big breasts.
Okay.
She needs something that's got
to
give her some
I don't
support.
Care about bra. You don't have to get creative. Just make them look nice. But my wife has always worn tea bags, and they're this big. Like, I find them in the laundry, and I don't know if they're like a sock or if they're... And I love that. And I asked her when we were dating, I said, "Just, I don't care if you're 80, still wear these. It's all I care about." She goes, "Oh, I couldn't wear the other ones. It's perfect." And don't cut your hair. And then lately, she's been like seeing hot girls on TV with shoulder length hair, shorter. And she goes, "What if I just did this?" I go, "What do you want to? What if you just were a soccer mom and that's all you want a minivan too?" I'm like, "I don't care, but you're asking me what I think, and I'm telling you,
right?
You're still gonna be beautiful, and you're still gonna be my wife and all that. But that's what's gonna happen. You cut it there, and the next thing you know, you're like, I just don't care anymore. I'm gonna put it in a ponytail and put it up and ugh."
Talk to me about the grooming on the undercarriage.
Mine or hers?
Both.
Mine actually did last night.
Nice.
So it's, you know what? It's smoother.
Yeah. You trimmed it or you shaved it?
I trimmed it, but I have too much belly down there.
Yeah.
And it looks like a baby's ass is surrounding my penis. And it's uncomfortable to see. I think I actually said maybe hair is better than what I have, you know?
You hear that, ladies? You hear that, 19-year-old nanny?
I got a baby butt down there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Maybe powder that, too.
My wife is like a little strip kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, not fully off, but a little
strip. Light strip.
Yeah.
That's
sometimes
nice.
She has gone all the way off. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, my wife's never gone all the way off. She sports like a 70s muff.
No, full on.
Yeah,
huh?
Full muff.
That's a little disturbing.
I love Thank it. You. That's why I asked for it.
No,
I mean not on her legs, but you know.
Yeah.
In the first, in the you know wheelhouse.
First time in the 90s that I ever went to second base on a girl, and I was at the bridge of her underwear, and
that's
I reached
third
in.
Base. Yeah, that's what I keep trying to tell them.
Second, third.
Kissing over. Is
okay,
first.
Third base. Yeah. It's been so long since I put it in sports analogy. Okay, so the first time I was rounding third, mm-hmm. and I put my hand in there. In my head, I was like, why did she have a baby doll in there? I just grabbed a baby doll by its curly. That's what I thought for a second. I'm like, this is the weirdest girl I've ever been with. And I thought, what is that? Why do you have that? I wasn't grossed out by it, but it was just so surprising.
Shocking, yeah.
Because in my time, we didn't have that.
What are you talking about? Girls all had muffs in our time.
Not in the 90s.
On Staten Island.
In Staten Island, I didn't get to third base a lot.
Yeah.
And I had a high school girlfriend, and then I left and came here where everybody was like, shave it up, Pierce.
Yeah, right. The first time I got to third base, it was with this girl, and it was my friend's little sister.
Oh, boy.
And I mean.
How little?
Well, we were only 16.
Perfect.
So I don't know how old she was.
Oh.
Allegedly. But I went in, and you know we're making out, and it's so weird because like I'm at his house and his parents aren't home, and like he knows I'm with his sister.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
He doesn't care. We're drinking peppermint schnapps, and like we just I go in there and
romantic,
and we're making out, and then I put my hand down her jeans, and I go to do
go
it,
for it yeah.
And I do it, and then I leave, and I'm walking home, and I do what you do. Yeah.
That. You were.
And it was grotesque. And I realized I'd missed third base, gone in the dugout. And the worst thing about it was like, well, there was a lot of worse things.
Yeah.
But for her, it was like probably a little traumatic because, but did she know that that was wrong?
Right.
Did I set up an expectation for her?
That every guy. Done?
And now the freaky guy is the one who actually does it normal.
You're right.
Yeah.
And the next guy who doesn't do it, she's going to be like, why didn't he doesn't like me?
Yeah,
he didn't do it the right way. He didn't do it like Finch Dog Day in the dugout.
Or she's just God. In his ear and she goes, further.
What? Please no.
All right. I don't know. Don't say it again. I dumped it. I don't even know what you said and I dumped it. I dumped it by Carmen's groan. I knew I shouldn't have it. Go see Greg Fitzsimmons this weekend. He will be at the Improv in Tampa, which is a great place to go and hang. So what do? You'll go down there now to the hotel after the show. You'll sleep until tonight's show?
No, I'm not like an animal. I'll go back to the room. I'll pleasure myself, and then I'll nap for like two hours.
Will you use porn?
Yes.
Okay.
Japanese hidden camera massage.
That's it. That's a go-to?
And then I'll get up around 1 o'clock, have some coffee, eat, write jokes.
Will you leave the hotel to eat?
No.
Oh, man.
No, I don't leave the hotel.
What is wrong
with actually,
you?
I have to. They have no lunch at the
hotel. Yeah.
So I got to walk down the street, but, you know, it's obviously I'm in Ybor, so it's easy to find.
Stabby. Okay.
And then I'll do some writing. I'll work out.
What are you writing?
Well, I've got this pilot that I'm doing.
Me too. Let's compare notes. What do you got? What are you working on?
Mine is like, it's called the Sunday Papers, and it's like a brunch in a loft in Venice with like three or four comics sitting around reading the Sunday paper.
Oh, it's like a legit show. Like a live reality.
Yeah, like a round table.
Right, right.
I mean, it's sort of like Tough Crowd was. It's
I like
real
that.
Comics, but it's not joke. It's opinions and rants and, you know, picture me like me and Nick DiPaolo.
Yeah.
It's like that, and so it's pretty loose format. But I gotta write some different segments for it.
I like that. That's
you like
good.
The show, right?
Yeah. Anytime you get a good group of guys, like you said with DiPaolo, I listen to Rush Limbaugh. I don't agree with hardly anything he says, but I listen to him because I think he's entertaining. Same thing with the crazy guy before him. What's his name? Glenn Beck.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem today is that comedy used to be, I want to hear this guy's opinion. And he's going to be funny. Now it's like, I have to agree with this guy's opinion, and then I can see if he's funny.
Yeah, no, I listened to Pompous Rush. I told you this would happen. And you're like, no, you didn't, you big melon head.
Yeah.
But it's funny the way he presents it and the way those people call up and they're like, Rush, megadittos, I believe everything you say. And
right.
You fools. But it's funny to listen to. And then sometimes you learn some stuff.
Yeah.
So I would watch that. I think that would be great. I thought before Tough Crowd, I always point this out, the show that was Tough Crowd on NBC right after 9/11, where it was Patrice, DePaulo.
Colin Quinn.
Colin, he was hosting it. And yeah. And then a couple other guys, and they would just rip each other apart and use racist terms and all that. That's wonderful. That's a good exercise in getting it all out, whatever's on your chest. So, and that became Tough Crowd. So any show along those lines would be funny.
Yeah.
All right, good.
What's your pilot?
I got two things I'm working on. I got one. I got a show. It's me. And I'm not sure if I'm casting Faison Love.
Craig Robinson.
Lavelle Crawford.
One of those fat
Ice
black
Cube
dudes.
Is backing it, though.
Ice Cube did say he wanted to buy it. And we both play. Like, I grew up in Staten Island. I was like a muscle guy for the mob. Low-end stuff. And he worked for a black drug dealer. And we both decided we just had too much. We got to get out. So we move in together, and we don't have a pot to piss in. We're trying to go legit. And then every time we think we're getting ahead, his mom has to go into a nursing home. We need money, so we have to pull one more job.
They drag you back.
We have to do one. The show's called One More Job, and we keep getting dragged in to do one more job to pay for this.
Yeah.
The only car that they have,
We bought one car with all the money that we have, and we share it, and it's a Miata. A convertible Miata.
So, and sometimes you have to cover for him.
Yeah.
And his jobs were all black jobs.
Right. And my jobs are all Italian jobs, and I always got
so
the
fish out of water sometimes. Would
be, yeah, it'll be good.
I like it a lot.
And then the other one is...
you know what you need is like an Irish neighbor, kind of a bald guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's wondering what you guys are up to all the time, borrowing cereal.
And you think in the beginning, you think he's a bad guy, but then he ends up helping us.
That's right.
Later on. Then the other show I'm writing, this one's serious. I'm like into pages on this. It's about a guy who does a midday local news show, like one of those horrible things that you'd probably have to go on after this show. Yeah. And he thinks he's going to be the next Regis. And he just when he thinks he's getting a promotion, he gets fired. And his wife, who, against his better wishes, just adopted a Asian child, she actually gets called to go back into work, and she gets a national news show. So now he's
his
off.
His daughter?
His wife.
Oh.
His wife had left her career to be a wife.
Oh, I see.
And then he gets fired,
so
and she gets called up.
Chinese
and
kid.
He's stuck with a Chinese kid he doesn't want.
Yeah.
And he's now stuck with a kid dealing with the fact that his wife is becoming successful. And then it turns out that the kid, who obviously he's going to end up liking, is a genius.
Yeah.
And then the kid, he starts doing some stuff with him.
Yeah. It's called I'm with Wang.
It's called, me and Wang. It's called Wang and I. So those are my two shows. They're available for purchase or executive producer.
I'm working on
Scholarship Kid.
Working on Vice President Cowboy. So.
We were going to write it. We used to do a thing called The Little Pope, when the Pope was little. And then all of a sudden, now they got a show called The Young Pope. They totally robbed us. What did ABC rob us of?
Oh, ABC robbed us because nobody's been talking about it forever, and we literally just talked about it 2 days ago, 1 day ago. The Battle of the Network Stars is coming back.
Yes!
Shut up.
To ABC, yes.
Shut up.
We literally just talked about it.
Just the other we were explaining to them what it was.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, good.
So they're bringing that back.
It's all right. I'll watch that. It'll
be interesting.
Thank you to Jim Brewer. See him tonight at the Palladium in St. Petersburg. One show for him, so if you want to go, check it out tonight. And then Greg Fitzsimmons tonight and tomorrow night at the Improv in Tampa. Spanish is heading on out to the National Rifle and Mustang Association contest.
Yeah, close enough. NMRA National Mustang Racing Association, Bradenton Motorsports Parkway.
Yeah, noon, right?
Yes.
Then you're going to the National Drug Association.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
Okeechobee.
And then Sunday, LBC. Thank you to LBC for bringing all that awesome food here today.
Yes, fantastic.
You'll be there at 10 p.m., and then we'll be there the day after St. Patrick's Day with the band.
Yeah, so that'll be cool.
Carmen?
Yes?
Anything for you?
I'm going to Disney.
Of course you are.
Peace.
Greg Fitzsimmons, you can catch him on Sirius. You can hear his Fitz Dog Radio podcast on iTunes. So easy to get.
So easy to get.
And what else? What else are we going
to
plug?
There's an app called Laughable.com. It's an easy way to listen to the podcast.
Or Laughable?
Others. Yeah, it's like if you look up a name like my name, you'll see every other podcast I've done.
Right, that's
Joe
great.
Rogan. Nice. Yeah, so it's cool. And then, thank you for having me on, man. It's always a great hang.
Anytime, man. Thank you.